Well, good morning, all everybody out there on Facebook or YouTube. We want to welcome you this morning to Father's House online ministry here from Christchurch, Dorset. And if you are have got your phone or you're listening to this message, we'd love you to share this message this morning. Just around the world, around your neighbors, your friends, just put it out there. Caring, sharing is caring, as Joshua Fowler would say. And it's important to get the word of the Lord out in these days that are upon us. So today I want to welcome you to Father's House. And this word has been resting on me for a while. The Lord has been giving me prophetic words that he hasn't given me permission to release until this season. So I want to just take some time and go through something that the Lord has really been putting on my heart for this season. The word that I believe is a word of the Lord, and it's about the times and seasons that we live in. I'll be speaking to you today from the place of visions and dreams. This word has come from the position of visions and dreams. So I want to speak to you today from that place of visions and dreams this morning. Just want to move this over a little bit here. So I want to start by saying, like, do we still need visions? Do we still need dreams? Are they relevant today? I believe they are more relevant today than they've ever been. I believe this is the season where God is prophetically speaking globally, not just nationally or locationally, but I believe that there's a global voice that's being projected out through the world today. I believe there's a clarion call that's going out over the globe today as a warning call, like God is like throwing a shot across our bow through the prophets in this season. So I want to take you back to December 14th last year. My husband had been poorly, had been in hospital. And on the 14th, I began to experience 3 or 4 days of extreme hopelessness and despair and fear. And I had this feeling of being trapped and caged and unable to get out, unable to break free. I was unable to discern what was happening around me. I had this felt like I was wrapped in chains, that I was absolutely helpless, just full of fear and despair. And I asked the Lord, I began to ask the Lord, because that's not normally my kind of remit. You know, I'm kind of a normally really positive person. So I began to ask the Lord what was going on in a time of worship and just journaling with him. And this is what I began to see in the spirit. I looked around me and I began to see a wave that was rising and growing, and it was coming toward the earth. And this wave was a dark wave, and it was being stirred by the hand of God. And I believe that we have already had a wave of global disaster, a global epidemic, which has been that of COVID, which is a man-made disaster, a man-made wave, a man-made epidemic or pandemic. But this wave is a wave that's coming from the hand of God. It's a totally different thing. It is unstoppable. It is fearful, and it is sent from heaven's heart, I believe, for the redemption of man and to prepare the way of the return of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a baptismal wave, a wave of cleansing, a wave of repentance, and a wave onto empowerment of his church again in these days. This also took me back to 5 consecutive dreams that I had years before that, of waves that came to different nations, different locations, of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But also those dreams were about the sifting and shaking of that area, of that location or that nation. And I believe in that season of those dreams, God was preparing a people for himself. I believe that in those dreams, those seasons of shaking, I believe God was preparing a people for himself that was going to be ready for this season that is coming. So in this particular vision, as this wave was outpouring, I began to see its effects around the world globally. And I saw world governments partnering with demonic forces, dark forces, partnering with principalities and greedily dominating and gaining control of the nations that began to release global deception upon the people of the earth. So this was like the governments, the ruling bodies, the financiers, all these people, and they were partnering, knowingly or unknowingly, they were partnering with principalities, powers of darkness that was bringing about a control of the nations, a global deception upon the nations that also has affected and will affect the church. This partnership created ungodly doorways, released, opened ungodly doorways from the spirit realm upon the earth, resulting in the release of fear, of manipulation, of perversion, of incest, of cruelty, immorality, mass control, hopelessness, mass despair, narcissism, self-loathing, self-righteousness, anger, malice, jealousy, ungodly relationships, and so much more. When you look around you today, the world is in a state that it has never been in before. The church itself, in this season, in this wave, the church itself was compromised in this vision, and it lay in its bed of hidden comfort, and its armor was lying by its side, rusting. So the church was like there, but it was dormant. It was asleep. It had taken off its armor. It stepped out of battle. Its armor was laying by the side of the bed. She was unwilling to stand, to speak, to be seen. She was compromised in partnerships with rivers of unrighteousness, unable to be identified among the ruins of what was happening in the earth. And this stream, these waters rapidly became a global flood, a global epidemic. And I believe that this wave that's coming is from the hand of the Lord, but it is going to affect the globe, the whole of the earth, every person on the face of the earth today. And these doorways that were opened by those that had power, those that created all this fear and immorality and let things go and increased it and actually blessed it almost, this in turn opened doorways. Doorways lead to doorways, lead to doorways, lead to doorways. This in turn opened doorways onto physical manifestations in mankind, physical manifestations of new diseases, physical manifestations emotionally, mentally, physically, systems of the world unable to cope with the enormity of what was happening. Idolatry became the entitlement and desire of mankind. All things lusted for without concern for God whatsoever. Generations birthed unchurched, uneducated in the word, ignorant and undesiring of God. How many times have we heard now that other places are sending missionaries to the UK because we've become a dark nation? But we say no, we say no, we say no, we say but God, but God, but God. But in this vision, confusion began to overrule wisdom and logic, perpetrating government bodies as they searched literally blindly for answers to the chaos that they had created through unrighteous partnerships with darkness and with each other. They became unable to see the way ahead out of the smoldering fires that they had lit in the nations. They were groping blindly, trying to find ways out, their minds confused with idolatry and greed and lies. Respect also had been shattered from mankind, and anarchy began to rise against leadership, against government authorities. Men and women began to rebel and stand against these authorities, leading to violence and vandalism, theft and pillaging. and their eyes were blinded, and the blind led the blind. And this was a vision I had way back, just after we were married, about the blind leading the blind into a pit that began to fill with blood of those that fell into this dark abyss. And their cries were echoing into the atmosphere. And I saw in this vision this cliff edge, this precipice, and the church was supposed to be standing around this precipice, guarding it, being the fence, being the line of protection against death, against eternal death. And as I stood at this precipice, there was this huge gap between me and the next one, and a huge gap between that person and the next person. And over to my right, the sun was shining and the church was sitting, having picnics and drinking their tea and eating their cake and in their pretty clothes. And yet there was these thousands upon thousands of people blinded, unable to see where they were going, groping in the dark, and they were falling through us. We were only able to grab so many, but they were falling through in their hundreds into this pit. And the blood that they shed in that place was rising up, and it came out over this precipice, and it flowed where? It flowed over to the church. And the Lord was beginning to say, I am demanding a response for the blood of the lost. I have heard the cry of the broken. I have heard the cry of the lost. Their blood cries out to me from the earth. And I began to see this, and I began to sense again the atmosphere of the cry of the blood of man unto the Lord for answers, for justice. Gender identity and purpose was stolen with the young, not knowing where they belonged or who they were. Mothers were given power to kill their own children, their sons and their daughters, without any account. And we have seen in this day that they now in certain areas have legalized abortion post-birth. Post-birth, not just prior to birth, but post-birth, mothers in certain areas are giving permission, legal permission, to murder their newborns. What a state the world is in. Man had become another species. Did you know that man is no longer considered separate from the animal kingdom? We are now considered a species. If we are only a species, we have been stripped of all our God identity, our God image, slowly losing all ability to see through the darkness. But when we believe that we are made in the image of God, when we are made in his image and likeness, there is something different that happens within us that rises up to believe for something more. And in this vision, I was totally broken before the Lord. And I kept saying, should I release this, Lord? And he said, no, it's not the appointed time. But this is the season. This is the time and this is the moment. This dark wave I see rapidly coming toward mankind is sent from heaven's heart. It is a move of God. It's a move of Adonai, not of man. Its purposes is for the redemption of mankind. This shift, this wave, this Kairos season is to literally prepare the way for the harvest of the earth and the Lord's return. There has to be a platform that is set for the harvest. Something has to be there to be harvested. When you look at a wheat field, when it's ready for harvest, when it's ripe, what happens? This huge combine harvester comes in, massive thing, and it looks like it's causing devastation. It's cutting down that wheat, it's beating off, it's cutting it up, it's separating the chaff from the wheat, and then that wheat has to go through another process to remove the husk. There is such a process of refining that happens before you actually get the flour to make your bread or the seed to sow for another harvest. And I believe that this vision is speaking of the harvest of the earth. The earth is like this wheat field that is ripened onto harvest. And God is coming with a wave. He's coming with the combine harvester. And he is going to begin to set the platform for the harvest. It's exciting and it's fearful. So this shift, it's a baptismal wave, I believe, of cleansing, of repentance onto empowerment with the fire of God. A wave that will shake and break everything that needs to be shaken and broken. A wave where the kings and rulers will fall, systems of this world will fall that have been in place for years. Even here, our NHS system is failing, it's stumbling, it's falling by the wayside. People have lost faith in it, losing faith now in our GPs. There's so much that's happening. Our benefit system, everything around us is shaking, and it's being shaken by the Lord. And I believe again that God is bringing a cry and a repentant weeping to the church so that she will make herself ready and prepared for this massive harvest. The Kairos season that is rapidly advancing upon the earth is the precursor to the greatest awakening in history. Come on, the greatest revival leading to the greatest harvest ever seen or known. And God is looking for a people who will walk with him on this highway of holiness, separated unto God, and to be holy, given over to the Lord, and walking in obedience to him without compromise. Are you willing to walk the way of holiness? Are you willing to be those people that he comes to and allow that shaking to happen? Allow him to loosen and remove everything that he needs to remove in order for you to have and experience this second Pentecost that's coming, this outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the church to empower her again for service. There is so much prophetic revelation that is coming forth globally in this season as a clarion call to the church saying, I am coming. Do not be offended at my ways. I am coming to cleanse and to prune and to raise up a people who will trust me completely and shout in unison, we will prepare the way of the Lord. We will prepare the way of the Lord. That is what he is looking for. He says, I am coming. I am coming. And I'm coming to cleanse and prune firstly and to raise up a people who will trust me completely and give everything to me. Is it a fearful thing? Is it a fearful thing? Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, due to the shaking that's coming globally and economically. Joel 1:15 says, alas for that day. The day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. It doesn't say it's going to come like a Lilo floating on a swimming pool. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. That day is coming. Chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Shout the alarm from my holy hill. Shout the alarm. Shout the alarm. Blow the trumpet. There's action that has to be taken. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Chapter 3, multitudes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Why? For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. We're in this season where people don't know what to decide. They don't know what to do. They're in the place of making all these decisions about their finances and their family and their homes and how they're going to pay their bills and looking at their children, wondering if their children trying to decide if they're male or female. Oh, you're not allowed to say male or female anymore. It's it or they. Seriously, guys, seriously, waking up, waking up. Is it fearful? Yes, if you do not know God as Savior and Master of your life. Yes, if you live neither hot or cold for him, but are lukewarm. Revelation 3 verse 16 says, because you are not hot or cold, I will vomit you. I will spew you from my mouth. God detests the mix. He no longer will stand for the mix in our lives. He will not accept the mix. Why were they not allowed to eat the tree of good and evil? Number one, they had a choice. Number two, it was a mix. If they eat, soon as they ate from the tree of good and evil, their purity was compromised. Their ability to make righteous decisions was compromised. When we partner with evil, our ability to make righteous decisions is compromised. Our ability to see the face of Jesus is compromised. Our ability to make good choices is compromised. Is it a fearful thing? Yes, if you do not know God as Savior and Master of your life. If you're listening to this word today, and you do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, can I please urge you to give your life to him even now, right at this moment? You don't need any fancy prayers from people. You don't need any help from people. All you need to do is acknowledge that he is the Son of the living God, that he lived and he died for you to take away your sin. And that he says when you give yourself to him, you become his son or his daughter. But you also become a disciple, and that disciple is called to walk the way of holiness with no compromise. And we have watered down the gospel in these days to speak about this greasy grace where it's okay to live in the world and live in the church. No longer, guys. There is a wave coming. A Kairos season of God is upon us where this is no longer acceptable in the church. Is it a fearful thing? Yes. God will no longer tolerate the mix. Is it fearful? No, if you know Christ as Savior and Lord. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes who believes in me. Those who come to me and believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever believes in me will live and never die. Do you believe today? John 14:6 says, I am what the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. If you want to know the truth today, you read the scriptures. Read the book of John. Read the gospels. Read it. If you want to know what's going to happen, read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. Ask God for interpretation. If you don't know him today, it's time to give your life to him. It's time to come to the altar and repent before the Lord. And to repent means to turn your life around and go the opposite direction. Instead of following the me, and I'll do as I want, it's time to turn around and say, God, whatever you want of me, I will give. Whatever you ask of me, I will do. Come and fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. Birth me in your fire. Birth me in power that I can follow you. Is it fearful? No. If you're obedient, Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. There's an awakening coming, guys, but the alarm to awaken must be heard. The trumpet must be blown. It is time to sound the alarm. Joel 2, it's time to blow the trumpet. The wave of God is a global alarm. It's a call unto repentance, to be pruned and cleansed unto empowerment, great power for this time, this season. And I believe that we are stepping into this shifting season, this Kairos season, as we come in to the autumn, as autumn approaches. The world today is fearful, confused, feeling caged and trapped with no way of escape. Suicides are higher than they've ever been. Domestic abuse, abortion, violence is higher than it's ever been before. Despair envelops nations right now. But God, God always gives a call, a warning to his people. Do you hear this trumpet call this morning? Do you hear the trumpet blasting, people? Are your ears open? Are you willing to listen? Times and seasons. Let me read from you from 1 Thessalonians 5, or if you've got your Bibles there, look it up. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and let us be sober. Let us be awake and let us be sober. Times, the word times, I do not need to write to you about the times and the dates. Times. That needs to go back a bit, please. Thank you. Sorry. Times is the natural realm of timing. It's the chronos time. It's like long, short, minutes, hours. Like I was at the hairdresser's for hours. Dinner will be in 5 minutes. That's chronos time. That's the time that we live in. This is the time of our life. Yeah, it's the time that we are here. What we're doing right now is our time. And this time at the moment is 11:18 here in UK. Yet where he speaks about the plans of God, he says, I do not need to write to you, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come. About times and dates. That word dates actually is the word seasons, and it's the word kairos. Kairos, where chronos is in the natural realm of timing. Kairos is the spirit realm of timings. It is a fixed and definitive time set apart, a time when things are brought to crisis point, or an awaited time, epoch, or season. Supreme moments of God of in time and seasons. So this kairos that we're coming into is a supreme moment of God in time and season. So what is happening is this season that has been this thing that's being brought to a point, to a head right now, is coming from the spirit realm, from the unseen realm into the seen realm, from the spirit realm time of Kairos into the Chronos time of Earth, into our time. We are in a Kairos moment of God in these days, and he is doing some amazing things. And even though we don't know when the Lord is returning, we feel and sense this season. You know, it's an approaching Kairos season. We feel the weight of it. We feel it in the atmosphere around us. We feel the pressure being pressed against the earth right now and its people. It's so important that we position ourselves for this time by judging rightly the season that we are in and sending out a message without apology. This message today comes without apology. Be those in these days that are sober and awake, watching in the Chronos time, the natural, and looking for the Kairos of God in this season. Watch and listen. Be sober and awake. Be alert. Be alert. It's not time to build your own houses, but to build the house of the Lord. The Lord spoke to us 12 years concerning this Haggai chapter 1. Why are you concerned about building your own houses and making them beautiful when the house of the Lord lies in ruin? It is time to ascend the mountain of the Lord and to bring down what is required to build his house. It is time to ascend the hill of the Lord and to bring down what is required to build his house. Amos 3, chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The word for plan here is secret. So surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And this word for secret is the word sod. And it's three Hebrew letters. The first is shamach, then Daleth, then Yod. Shamach means a shield, protection, support. The letter Daleth means a doorway, an opening. As we've been speaking about before, there are doorways that have been opened, but God is opening other doorways, open doors. And the last letter, Yod, is the hand from above carrying a message or provision. So for me, I kind of keep it real simple and just kind of paraphrased it as the sovereign Lord gives an open door to his servants, the Nabi, who are the prophets and spokespersons for God. Those who are drawn through the open door, guarded and protected by the hand of God to carry his secrets and declare them. Sometimes Kairos moments aren't really realized in our lives, but it's like only when you like look back on your life and you can see, oh, wow, that was a moment when God stepped in and everything changed. I remember for me personally, I think a big Kairos season for me was when we went to IHOP KC, which is the International House of Prayer, for 6 months. That was one of my major Kairos moments where I began to have my eyes opened and my ears opened to a whole new realm of things that I had not even considered. So that was one of my Kairos moments. What are yours? Think back to your Kairos moments. Think back to when you, when things began to change for you. What had God set in place at that time for that to change? In Mark 13, it says, watch and pray. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time, when the Kairos moment has come. So not in our time, not 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, but watch and pray, for you know not when this Kairos moment, this season of God has come. This next month, the 25th to the 27th of September, from sundown on the 25th to sundown on the 27th, we step into the Jewish New Year of Rosh Hashanah. It speaks about being the head of the year, although they do have two new years. But this is the biblical, biblical name for this season is Yom Teruah. And it literally means a day of shouting or blasting, as with the shofar, as taken from like Leviticus 23. And it occurs in late summer, early autumn, which we are in right now, late summer, early autumn, and at the beginning of harvest season. What are we stepping into? Harvest season. What has begun? Harvest season. And each new year, this birthing releases new purpose, new expectations, new hope. Rosh Hashanah was celebrated with the sounding of the shofar on both mornings, with prayers, and then lighting of candles in the evenings, eating together things like the challah bread dipped in honey, wine or grape juice, apples dipped in honey, pomegranates, all these celebratory things as they stepped into the harvest, the bread, speaking of the harvest, and the wine and the grapes, the wine speaking of the harvest of the grapes and the apples and the pomegranates. And these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are days when the Jewish people, they don't do any work and they gather together for worship and attend the synagogue. Well, maybe this is a season where we need to set aside these 2 days to gather together, to pray and to worship and to say to God, this we're welcoming in this new season. We're welcoming in this Kairos move that you're pouring out upon the earth. We're welcoming it. Something to consider. So in Joel, it speaks so much about the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the holy alarm. But the first point of mention of the trumpet is actually in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. And it was the trumpet blast when the people were gathered around the mountain. Israel had become out of Egypt and they were gathered around the mountain. And there was this trumpet blast. God had told Moses to bring the people together that he was going to appear. And it was the trumpet blast that preceded the manifestation of God's presence. And this was the first time that God had manifested his glory, his kabod, his presence, since the fall of man, right back in Adam and Eve. And this trumpet was like the awakening call saying, I'm coming with lightnings and thunder. And then the cloud of the Lord, this glory cloud descended down upon the people, and they were fearful. They were filled with fear. 1 Thessalonians 4 was the trumpet blast that precedes the transfiguration of the church. Come on, it's going to be a trumpet blasting where we're going to say, "Whoa, it's here, it's coming." It's going to be, it's not going to be like, you know, one that you hear across the street. It's going to be so loud. It's going to be like heard all over the earth. This trumpet with fire, this trumpet with lightnings, this trumpet that's calling us and taking us to be transfigured with Christ. And then there's Revelation chapter 1 where John heard a voice like what? Like a trumpet preceding what? His amazing vision of Revelation. He heard the trumpet and he turned around and he saw Jesus walking through the churches. He wasn't just standing there. He was actively walking through the churches, assessing the churches, looking into the church. God today is looking into the church. By his Spirit, he's looking into the church and he's calling us. He's releasing this trumpet blast and he says, "Where are you? What are you doing? These things are good, but this needs to go and this needs to go and this needs to go. Clean up your shop." Revelation 4 is the trumpet that precedes John's ascension into the heavenly realms of the Spirit, where he has this amazing vision. Through the book of Revelation, trumpets blasted at the sign of each coming judgment upon the earth. And the final trumpet will be a sign. The final trumpet that's blown will be a sign to all the voices in heaven to shout in unison and sing the victory of God, saying the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That final trumpet is the sign to all the voices in heaven to release that declaration of the finality of the battle, that the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness that was ruled by darkness, ruled by the prince of darkness, has become the kingdom of our God and King, and he shall reign forever and ever. What a trumpet blast that is going to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, it says, "If the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? Who will get ready for battle?" Well, people, we are coming into this Kairos season of God. There is trumpet calls being blasted all over the world through the prophetic voices, all over the globe prophetically, all shouting the same thing. There's a wave coming. There's a shift coming. It is happening. It is coming now. It is imminent. There's going to be suddenlies of God. It is coming. Let me read you Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 18. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken." Back to Moses and the people gathering around the mountain where God came and spoke. "If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" That was the severity of that trumpet call. The severity that no one could get near the presence of God without being slain. Not even an animal could step on that mountain when God's presence came, or they would have been obliterated, annihilated, slain. But you, are you listening? "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful procession, joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, Yeshua, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." You know that you are being made perfect. Perfect in your righteousness. Come on. "To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks." See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused, who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, hallelujah, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are stepping into unprecedented Kairos times and seasons of God's planning. We need to be ready and positioned with him, not to be offended at his ways and what is released through this outpouring of this Kairos wave of time. We are moving into days never seen before in history, days of such lack, of such fear, days of disclosure, of corruption, where deeds committed in darkness will be made manifest in the light. Days of sifting and shaking of the church and the world. Days of economic crash and crisis. Days of coming seasons is the cleansing and sifting of the church onto revival like never before. For those who choose to walk this highway of holiness, there will be a Holy Ghost outpouring of empowering fire. There will be power, signs and wonders and miracles. There will be harvest. Prodigals will rise from the ashes. I believe that from the Ezekiel 37, the dry bones, the valley of dry bones, God showed me these prodigals that were just lying there, dying, inactivated. And as the prophetic word was released, these prodigals, these bones began to come together and sinew upon bone and muscle and tissue, and breath was released into them again. And they rose up, what? A mighty army in the hand of the Lord. And I believe that this season, in this season of shaking, in this season of sifting, this season of breaking and making, that the Lord is coming for the prodigals, for the sons and the daughters that have been astray. And he is going to call again through the prophetic voice, the rising of these bones, the coming together of these bones. And once again, the Lord will breathe into these bones and they will come to life. The prodigals, your sons and daughters that you've been praying for years, will rise up. They will turn to the Lord. They will become his disciples and they will follow him. They will join the army of God in these days. God is shouting to us, get ready. Get ready. Get ready, people. Get ready. Clean up your house, for I am coming to shake what can be shaken and break what can be broken. I am coming to cleanse that which belongs to me. I'm coming to take back my church. I will no longer tolerate a lukewarm bride whose oil is stale and almost gone. I am calling you to the place of refilling. I have oil enough for you. I have wine enough for you to drink, sustaining wine, wine of joy and laughter, that you would laugh at these days to come. I have bread enough for you to eat in these days of uncertainty. Can you hear me, says the Lord? Are you listening? Are you awake? Are you sober? I am calling. I am shouting loudly in these days. Return to me with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul, with your whole strength, everything. Give it unto me again and see what I will do with the beauty of your life. The time has come, says the Lord, when I am coming in this next season, as you transition into this autumn season, I'm coming to purify my bride, to establish government that walks with me. I will remove kings and establish kings. I will remove shepherds and establish shepherds after my own heart. My people will be led by the apostolic and the prophetic mantle that I am establishing in these days of shaking. from my vision revealed to the prophets and apostles, then the pastors, teachers, and evangelists will flow from that place. They will flow from heavenly direction given to the prophets, action through the apostles. It is time. It is time for my house to once again be a house of prayer, to be a house of power, to be a house of healing, an altar of repentance, and a river of forgiveness and love, healing and deliverance. You have been anointed and appointed, called and qualified for this season. You are called to raise up the oaks of righteousness, those who will walk on the whole highway of holiness and rebuild that which is being broken. Do not fear, says the Lord, what is coming, but only trust me. Ask me and I will create within you a pure heart. I will give you a steadfast spirit for these days that lie ahead. Hold on to me, that my Holy Spirit would rest upon you and remain and remain and remain and remain. Ask of me and I will restore your joy, the joy of your salvation, and bestow upon you a willing spirit to follow, a spirit that will sustain you in this coming season of shaking. Whether we like it or not, we are moving into a season, into a season of shaking and cleansing. It is here. It is on our doorstep. In this place, there will be an outpouring and an empowering upon those who are steadfast and take their place on the highway of holiness. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." The glory, the chavod of God, to be heavily carrying the honor and the splendor and the riches and the abundance and the reverence and the dignity of God's presence. That glory has risen. It's breaking out. It's appearing. It's coming forth and shining. Like Moses, when Moses had the veiled face, that is what is coming upon his beautiful church in these days. In these days of shaking, there's such an empowerment. When we stay and when we climb on that highway of holiness, there is an empowerment, there is an awakening, there's an outpouring that is coming upon his church where she will rise up in the chabad of God, the glory of God. And it says, it will be seen on you. And the Bible says that nations will be drawn to the glory of God. Where are we to stand? On the hill. Let your light what? Shine before men. Let your light, what is your light? The chabad of God. His honor, his splendor, his riches, his abundance, the reverence, his integrity, his dignity, his power, his judgment will be seen through his church. When we climb that mountain, when we stand on that hill with him, make ourselves visible, get out of our beds and put on our armor, polish it up. We will reflect. We will be filled. We will be empowered and we will reflect the chabad of God, the glory of God. Its purpose is the final trumpet blowing as a sign to all of heaven to sing, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. There's an army rising, people. It's rising from the ashes, carrying the chabad of God. That which seemed dead, like the bones of Ezekiel, they are rising even now as we prophesy, glorious with splendor and power. They arise. We call them forth. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho!" The Lord says to the thirsty, "Come." To those who are hungry, "Come. There is more than enough." Do you feel this wave rising? Like, can you feel this wave coming? Can you feel the pressure that's coming upon the earth right now? It is not under the control of darkness. This is coming from the hand of the Lord. The blood of Jesus is calling to the cry of the blood of the lost. It's calling for the church to arise. It's calling for her to be clothed again in the glory of God, to be seen, to rise up, to be that beautiful, powerful bride, that beautiful light on a hill. It's time to put away nice programs and begin to seek and search out that kabod of God for this season, his glory. It's time to become the disciples and to search out that highway of holiness. There's no room for the ways of the world or worldly language or worldly jokes, immorality, either in thought or deed, hatred, bitterness, offense, anger, rage, lies, greed, pride. There's no room for it in this season in the church. There is no room for that on the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35 says, and the highway of holiness will be there, and it will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way, and the unclean will not be there. Are you ready to follow the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No one can sneak in the back gate because he is the door. He is the only way. Guys, we're stepping into a major Kairos moment of God. We need to be ready. We need to be those ones whose lives are not like the Laodicean church, where Jesus said, you're neither hot or cold. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. But he says to you today, I'm here at the door. I'm knocking. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, says the Lord? I want to come in and sup with you. I want to come and live with you. I want to come and teach you how to seek my face. I want to empower you for signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to pour my fire upon you in these days. There's a wave coming, a shift, a massive move of God onto empowerment, shaking, sifting, cleansing, and pruning of the church, onto empowerment in the Holy Ghost and fire, so that we can harvest where he wants to harvest. In these days, you can't afford to have seed in your life that's going to be blown away by every distraction. There's going to be a lot of distractions coming in this wave. Going to be a lot of things that are going to be hard to see and hard to understand. But we've got to be the seed that's planted deep in the soil of who he is, deep in the soil of Jesus, covered in his blood, continually coming to the altar, continually receiving that fire of his presence. We don't want to be the seed that falls in thorny ground, that when hard times come in life, or like the utility bills and all those pressures that are of life are here with us right now. Are we going to be the seed that says, where's our God? Are we going to be the seed that says, though he slay me, yet I will serve him? What kind of seed are you planting in your soil? What are you growing today? What is growing within you in preparation for stepping into this next season? Father, I pray for these ones today, for each one, God, that has taken time to watch and to listen. God, that you would awaken them, that they would be sober and awake. Lord, that they would begin to have ears that hear and eyes that see. Lord, that there would be a willingness within them to be the burning ones for you. We cannot burn without being hot. If we're hot on cold, we cannot burn. So Lord, let us be those burning ones for you. I pray for those, God, that the prodigals, sons and daughters that have fallen by the wayside, God, we call them back today. We prophesy your breath within them again. We prophesy, God, the revelation of Jesus upon them. We say, rise up, waken up and rise up out of the earth. And God, we prophesy your breath, and we call the breath from the four winds to come and breathe life in them again, that they would rise a mighty army. To Lord, we stand today in this moment of time on the cusp of a great move of your spirit, where you're stretching out your hand. Lord, we have to choose. And I pray for each one today, God, that they will choose the way of holiness, that they will walk with you on the way where you will strengthen them, sustain them, empower them. In Jesus' name. Amen.